the saying goes, I think you know this one, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It was the 11th century Saint Bernard of Clairvaux who said it for the first time. And I think about it every time that Lent comes around. Lots and lots of good intentions. Read your Bible, pray for others, serve the community, fast, give generously, teach and learn, grow in spiritual depth and relationship. Somehow this year I can feel our need for Lent kind of in my bones. It's been 385 days since the last marking of ash on our foreheads. Due to the movability of Easter, the first full moon after the vernal equinox, I'm not sure about you, but somehow we need Lent. We need to remember and return to God. The prophet Joel called our biblical ancestors and us to do just that, return to God. The prophet called the people because he knew two things about the people. The first, see if this fits you, is they knew God. They knew God who had made them and created them, God who had whispered in their ears and urged them on in times of trouble, God who walked with them as a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. They knew God in miracles and protection from the storm. The prophet knows that God's people have truly known God, at some point have committed their lives and want to live in God's way. And there's the other thing the prophet knows about God's people is the ones he's calling the trumpets for need to be called back to God. We and they who have wandered away, who have gotten comfortable thinking we can manage God right from here, thinking we've figured out the answers to how this whole thing can play out, thinking we know the routines and the rhetoric. I wonder if this sounds familiar to you. Instead of praying for someone right on the spot, saying, I'll pray for you, and walking away and forgetting to ever lift them up again in prayer. Instead of taking a meal to someone in need, saying, let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Putting the onus on the one who has challenge and who has grief, instead of offering our care. We have really good intentions that we mean to get around to, you and me. The prophet Joel knows this about the people and knows a day gets marked on the calendar. The trumpet has to sound loudly and obnoxiously, like a fire alarm that wakes you up in the middle of the night that you just can't ignore. That you just can't nod your heads and go back to sleep. This is also what Jesus knew as he was teaching the disciples and the crowds to pray. I find it interesting he was teaching them to pray, primarily Jews who had been to the temple, who could recite the Psalms ascending and descending, who knew what to say as they gathered, and who still needed to be taught to pray. They knew the prayers, but did they know how to pray? They still came to Jesus when their hearts were filled to the brim with grief over the daughter who was no longer breathing. They came to Jesus with the friend who was paralyzed and asked him to pray and lay hands. Did they know how to pray or just how to say prayers? So Jesus tells them, go into your room and shut the doors. That's the kind of thing introverts like to hear. No need for public speaking. No need to know all the right words. No need to be polished and have an extensive vocabulary. But if that's all we think that Jesus was saying, we've missed out just a bit. Jesus calls us to pray our hearts, calls us to offer to God those things we're hesitant to say out loud. It's a bit like this. Yesterday, as we gathered clergy with a former district superintendent, now bishop, she said kindly to us, the doctor thinks I might have some dementia. And the prayer goes like this, Lord, I pray for Bishop Fisher. And in my private place, Lord, I'm terrified of losing my own mind as well. Going to the private place and sharing with God the deepest anxiety as well as the intercession. Going to the private place and yelling about justice deferred to our neighbors who are treated differently because of the racial and the ethnic backgrounds they come from. Going to the private place and confessing, I'm not sure, God, how you want me to stand up in the middle of this storm and praise your name when all I want to do is lay in bed and watch reruns of I Love Lucy. It was last year when we heard the challenge to go to the war room, that movie, the compelling one that urged us to be focused and concentrate in prayer for those we love and want to care for. The movie, you might know, illustrates an older woman, Miss Clara, who makes space in her house to pray, a literal prayer closet, who keeps a journal dedicated to prayer that she goes back to again and again and again. This was not just a nice movie that inspires us and helps us feel good for a little while. Listen to the trumpet blow. Listen to the prophets who call. Listen to the God of our hearts. Repent and turn back. Come back, says the Lord. From our spiritual laziness, let us go back to God. For a long time, I thought it didn't matter where I prayed. And it's true. I can and do and will pray absolutely anywhere. I remain committed to that. However, I also have my chair. I have a space in our home with my Bible and my prayer journal and my pen and for me, there's a blanket there as well. And every time I look at that chair, it calls me back to pray. Every time I walk into my library, I hear the trumpets calling me to the work of prayer, holding me accountable not just to pray as I go, but to commit to the private place in which I pray. I don't know where your place might be. Maybe it's your car on the way to work. Maybe it's the bathroom, the only place you can find true privacy with nobody else bothering you. Maybe it's the back porch where you look out in the bird feeder and see God's creation. Maybe it's a closet with a little space cleaned out enough for a chair and a notepad and a pen. Wherever it is that you find space, let God hollow that space to be a place of prayer, a place of private prayer. Throughout Lent, we'll talk about multiple techniques and ways to pray, the public kind, the intercessory kind, prayer that's familiar and probably a couple of kinds that make you a little uncomfortable altogether. But today, we listen to the prophets who call us back to pray in private, that heart-filled, God-dependent kind of prayer. So go to your closet, wherever it might be, and pray when you're so disappointed that you can't get over what's happened. Go to the closet and pray when you hear of another person who is preparing to walk their family through the journey of cancer. Go to your closet and pray when you hear our country, who proclaims shared values, is acting in ways that don't feel anything like the kind of shared values we'd talk about. Go to your closet and pray when you hear of another person whose life is tied up in addiction that is persuasive and they can't get untangled from. Go to your closet and pray when you are tired and overwhelmed with all that is before you. Go to the private place. Beg and confess. Adore and thank, worry and wonder. And then, listen. Jesus reminds us that our God who sees in private will reward us. Listen to where God is already walking with you, already guiding you in to God's glory, because it is from God that you have come. It is to God that you will return. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.